Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It is your boy, the most talented man in the world and super humble, Chris Yano. How's that for a start? Oh my God. This is how you know I've had back-to-back-to-back meetings and way too much coffee. To The Point listeners, thanks for listening again, even though it's the shit show already. But hey, what's not shit show is our guest. So I got a great guest who I met, gosh, it's probably been 2 weeks now, Ryan, at ACCA. And you were on the panel with, it was Brian Bovio, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Brian Bovio, yeah. And Ken Goodrich and Lee Rosenberg and Chris Hoffman, who's also been on the podcast. That guy is so sharp, man. Chris Hoffman.
He is. I kind of felt away trying to follow up anytime he spoke.
Well, he's got it put together pretty good, but you listen, like, you've got a good business, man. That's why you're on here. And I'm excited to share because you know, I've met so many people, you know, in the industry all these years. And anytime I hear kind of a unique story that's got good growth behind it, I always want to share. I want our listeners to hear it. I mean, I know that you listen to the podcast as well, so thank you. But you kind of know, like, you like to hear different things, like maybe one thing that you can potentially take away from the time you spent to listen to the podcast and implement into the business and make change. And so, you know, I think that you have some things to, well, I know you have some things that you can share. It's just your journey's been a little bit different because you're in the franchisee world. And so you are, what's your actual role? I know you hate titles, but like, are you vice president?
That's what my business card says.
Are you El Presidente?
Titles are just that. I'm not a huge fan of them. At this point, I am one of the owners of our operation. My father stepped aside kind of officially about June of last year, July of last year. So I guess I would say owner, president. My father's still involved. We communicate a ton. He did this for 42 years. It would be kind of dumb not to bounce some shit off him.
Right? Absolutely. But, of course.
So the official title, I guess, vice president, president, I just hate titles.
Got it. Well, owner, we'll just go with that. Resident badass. Okay. So, but you're 1 hour heating and air conditioning. And now you are originally in the Virginia Beach, the beach area, but also you're in Nashville and now Pittsburgh, man. So you're like, you're making some moves.
Yeah, we've been in Virginia Beach, I mentioned, 42 years. You know, my dad and my uncle started this operation 3 years ago. Moved down here, they were up in Richmond, Virginia, about 2 hours north of us, and they really didn't want to compete with the gentleman who kind of taught them the trade. My dad, it wasn't for him, sold some shoes, banking, somehow got into, I honestly couldn't tell you how he got into working at heating and air for a company up in Richmond. But when him and my uncle decided they wanted to branch out on their own, they didn't want to compete, found a place close to home, but not at home. So they moved down to Virginia Beach and 42 years later, we're doing our thing. And now we've been in Nashville for a little over 4 years. We've been in Pittsburgh a little over 4 months. And, we'll probably get into all that, but it's quite a journey, something you learn a lot along the way.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're going to get into. So, I'll kind of pry into that a little bit more, but where do you guys sit at today, like overall, between all three locations? Like, where are your guys' revenue at?
So between the three locations, we'll do, I'm going to say, approximately $35 million.
Nice, man.
Virginia Beach is what I call our flagship. That is the base of our operation. And that will account for about $20 million of that. And then the other two locations split that. And they are works in progress, and but they remain profitable, and that is something that my dad taught me from day one. You pick your size, but if you're not making that money, it doesn't matter how big you get.
Yeah, you are.
So to be $100 million company and not make a penny, you just put a lot of work in for nothing.
Yeah, man, you are a for-profit business. Kind of important for you to put all that work into.
That's an interview question. we talk about kind of pillars of our business, and one of which is to make a profit. And my question is, what do you call a business that doesn't make money? You only got two answers, nonprofit or out of business. And we're neither one of those. So
that's fair. kind of that makes sense. Well, listen, you guys are making money and you're doing an exceptional job. I mean, you're, and we were just talking about this, but the largest 1 hour franchisee, right?
That is correct. We're right there on our Virginia Beach location alone. There's a great operation in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, that is right about the same size, maybe a penny more. But when we add in our Nashville and Pittsburgh locations, we do become the largest franchisee in the system.
Oh, well, as soon as you get integrated with your boy here on the other end of the microphone, we will smoke those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, digital and put Myrtle Beach in the dust.
Let's go. But you know what's also interesting is I think we were talking about this pre-podcast too, is I was at the Phoenix Suns game last night, and man, the referees were crushing us in that first half, and I was pissed. And there's one referee. There's one ref. We're like, for every game that he's refed, we've lost every single one, like 42 in a row of games that he's repped that the Suns have not won. 42. So, you know a thing or two about reffing basketball games, don't you there, Ryan?
I do know a thing or two. I do referee college basketball, Division I college basketball, and Division II and III. My dad gives me all kinds of shit because and my wife does too, because I watch basketball games to watch the referees, which my wife tells me is probably some sort of mental challenge that I have. And my dad says, all I do is apologize for the ref. So we can be watching football game, basketball game, and I'm an apologist, but different perspective on those games. And, I don't know who called the game last night. I probably have an idea based on the 42 number, but, so it really goes back to the story of how I got where I'm at, which is, I grew up, I loved sports. Sports were huge in my life. I played them, and I ended up settling on swimming. I was a Division I swimmer at, you can see the Old Dominion University, and I love basketball. I love playing basketball, but if you've ever seen me, I'm pushing about 5'10", not exactly NBA material here. So, I played a lot of pickup basketball during our off season. Good friends with a ODU, I say basketball player. He sat on the bench. he really didn't get to play, but so I got to play a lot of pickup ball with those guys. And when I got out of college, I'm watching an ODU basketball game, end up sitting next to a guy there to, I'll say scout. It was observe the referees. And we start talking, and I end up working some junior varsity basketball. Junior varsity girls basketball. I shattered my ACL my very first year. There were probably like eight people in the entire arena, gym. I was about to say arena. And that it's kind of the journey, which is lasted. I'm in my 12th year of college, or 12th year officiating, ninth year in NCAA basketball.
So you're a glutton for punishment. That's what I'm hearing. Because
hence the heating and air conditioning business, right?
Your conditioned service, for it.
Employees, I mean, God, it's one and the same.
Good grief, man. Like, think of it. You can't even go to like kids' youth games without parents destroying those poor young referees.
That is the worst. There's not enough money you could pay me to do a 12-year-old rec game.
I guarantee you right now, someone listening is that parent on the sideline, and you know who you are if you're listening right now. Stop being that parent. Okay, those poor kids are making like $12
out of a high school gym.
Yeah, I mean, if my kids play sports, and my daughter's like competitive soccer, like state league team, like and I get irritated. But if I was to yell one thing, one, the coach would shut me down, and two, she wouldn't talk to me the entire ride home. So I don't do those things. I used to be that guy, but I'm not. Anyway, moving on. So, hey, congratulations, man, on the success of the business too. I know you guys are second generation, and I know that you have like this big vision of building this thing out. And I love that But, you know, as we're sitting on a mergers and acquisitions panel, which we asked other questions, but really that's what the panel was all about at ACCA. It was just the reason that you're on there is you've had success. So you've just kind of done it through this franchisee model, which is unique. And so I wanted to talk through those things, but a lot of the things that you're doing in the business to grow and scale it are no different than everybody else listening. It's trying to do the same thing. It's just that you actually have some like different like restraints, which is actually somewhat crippling for you too in your growth model, because you can't just do whatever you want to do in some instances. And that's gotta be weird. Like that would be an odd thing for me to deal with, is to have somebody tell me I can't do something with my business.
Yeah, it would be. And we are very fortunate. And this isn't a sales job. We currently are our franchisor, Authority Brands, has been extremely easy overall to work with. And there are restrictions. There are things that we disagree on. But, the basis of Authority Brands is to grow in-home service businesses. So I think they see that path. And it's something that we have aligned with them. They are backed by private equity. We have minority stake. Our private equity group has a minority stake. So our relationship remains strong with them. So it's more navigation than it is being told no, right? We have to work together. We have to figure out how, because what we do set precedence for future acquisitions, future groups that come into the system, so that they are reluctant to give us, that blank canvas or the green light on everything. Because who knows what down the line it might look like. So again, it's more navigation, more teamwork with those folks. But it has challenges that some of the other folks that you've had on here talking about their mergers and acquisitions don't have to deal with. They identify a prospect, they go and seize that opportunity, and they start operating the way they want. There's a little more that we go through to get to that finish line.
Yeah, sure. Well, and some of the benefits to it, like I think you and I talked about this, but we had on Heather McLeod, who's the CMO of Authority Brands. Gosh, I want to say it was in 2020, somewhere around there. And we were talking about like the franchise model and some of the pros that come along with that too. And that is, a lot of things are vetted out, and there's a lot of processes in place, a lot of trainings available. Like there's a lot of things that are available to kind of give you guardrails to be able to grow and scale the business. And they do have a brand, that they've spent millions and millions and millions of dollars growing and building. And so you got some immediate brand equity when you do it. So there are some pros to this thing, as well too. And clearly you guys are having a lot of success with it. What was the choice? Was it your dad's choice to go that route? Like he was the one that made that decision to do that. I don't remember when you said maybe take us through how this thing worked, like all the way up from you getting into the trades to today. And maybe what your dad had built that you walked into, that type of stuff. So let's just talk about your story.
Yeah. And a lot of these are going to be names that you've had on the podcast, people that have mentioned on the To The Point podcast. So my dad and my uncle started the business. I mentioned that September 1st, 1979. I don't know if this is one of those old wives' tales or something that has grown in lore over the years. My dad claims that their first day in business was Labor Day, so they closed on their first day of business. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the story he tells. I'm going to stick with it because it's funny. But, they tell the story that they did anything to make a buck for probably 25 years. New construction, residential, commercial, if it could pay, because there were bills to pay. My dad put the house on the line to keep the business afloat a few times. And my dad says he was a schmo who didn't know, he knew heating and air, he didn't know business.
Yep.
And he got hooked up with Jim Abrams, who's a very familiar name the podcast, and his team. And over the years, Terry Nicholson, who I know has been on, Darren Dixon. And my dad credits those gentlemen with changing his life, his business life. They showed him how you made money during this. And it was something he did not know how to do. And he'll readily admit that. My dad's a very smart man, took those teachings and put him into action. So about 15, 16 years ago now, my dad and my uncle were trying to figure out their exit strategy. And Jim Abrams had a grand idea. This was the first wave of roll-ups before what we're experiencing today with those mergers and acquisitions. And we talked about on the ACCA panel, Blue Dot. And all those groups were coming into it. And Jim had a plan to take 1 hour in the franchise system public, bring it, an IPO to the market. And that was an exit strategy for my dad and my uncle. They were trying to figure out where they were going to go. I was 15, 16 years ago. I still probably am the dumbass kid, but I was really dumb then. And, you know, trying to figure out my way in end of high school and into college. So that was their exit strategy. They went through all the hoops, audits, et cetera. My uncle kind of last second said, what do you think about buying me out? My dad said, sure, let's do it. But we've already committed to 1 hour. So we were in. And we were one of the, you know, I think one of the first handful of franchisees in the 1 hour system, hitched our wagon to Jim Abrams, Terry Nicholson, and crew. I came aboard. I've been here, it'll be 14 years this summer. I was a journalism major at Old Dominion. I wanted to do newspaper. Thank God that didn't work out.
You made a good decision.
Yeah, exactly. A forced decision. Sports has always been it. Sports journalism. I did work for the local ESPN radio affiliate. I did some high school football reporting, produced some. But I got a job with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Went to the college, our student center. They were there for a job fair. I knew they hired college athletes. I love my parents. Didn't want to move home after college. So I needed some money, needed some health insurance. So I took this job. Worked a little part-time for ESPN, local. I always got to throw that in. You worked for ESPN? No. Local affiliate, not the mothership.
What year is this, Ryan? Ryan, what year is this?
So I graduated college in 2005, so it's right about then.
Okay.
Yeah, because you asked my grandfather, he told all his golfing buddies down in South Florida that I was on ESPN, and, so I would come down to visit him, and, you got a big celebrity, and that wasn't the case. But, so I was with Enterprise and had a ton of fun. If you know anything about Enterprise, it is they work you to death, minimal pay, but you learn a ton. And I made some great friends, met my wife, but some of my dearest friends to this day. And eventually you kind of tap out, you cap out.
Yep.
So I didn't get a promotion I wanted. So what does any mature adult do? Throw a temper tantrum, right? That's what I did. I went and told him I was quitting. I was going to go work for daddy. And that's how it started. I've told people what a terrible life decision I made looking back on it for all the wrong reasons. It ended up being great. As we've had some bumps along the way, but looking back, you don't realize when you join family business, it's a lifelong commitment. You don't come and go most of the time.
Hey, what's your dad's name?
Todd.
Todd. Chow. Todd. I don't know if he's ever going to listen to this, but if he does,
well done. If you could figure out how to get on a podcast, I'll be impressed.
We're going to figure that out. I accept the challenge. Does he have an does he have an iPhone?
That he does. He's got the, hunt and peck.
Perfect. Then we got him.
But he's got it.
We got him, and he's going to hear this. Okay, wonderful. Well, listen, you also have another skill. You know what that skill is?
No.
I'm going to tell you. That skill is, I saw you in a pair of Lederhosen in a commercial. So who knew you had such good talent in front of the camera? Talked you into that? Was that you?
Well, that was in the early stages of my acting. And I did not understand I could be a diva at that time. But I say that yesterday we filmed commercials. We do it about every 4 months. We record 3 at a time in a studio. And yesterday I held an African bullfrog. It is huge. It's so big it can't jump.
What's an African bull? I'm going to look it up right now.
So back to Lederhosen. Not exactly. It was meme worthy. It took less than about a minute of that being on air before my friend started just attacking.
No, it's pretty good. I enjoy humor in the different videos. I mean, you guys have it right on your website. I'm a big fan of making fun and humor and adding those types of things in and making things lighthearted. It was funny, man. Like, it did its job. I mean, so, and your dad probably enjoyed it.
So, advertising, and this isn't all about our advertising, but Roy Williams, who a lot of people, have heard about, Wizard of Ads, just a different marketing philosophy that a lot of people in our industry have had great success utilizing, talks about, a few different things. One, the price of clarity can be offense, and that, you have to be different. bless our industry, but how many times can you see a good looking technician shake a good looking mom's hand who's holding a baby as they get out of a van and they smile? I mean, come on, folks. I mean, we got eight of them. And yeah, I might be the idiot in Lederhosen, but they remember the idiot in Lederhosen more than shaking the mom's hand.
Dude, I 100% agree. I am on your team in this. I mean, listen, I'm not afraid to rock the Lederhosen. I'd do it. I mean, wait a second, scratch that from the record. I see you guys down there making notes. So now I got my team down there making notes. Anyhow,
we're trying to finish up working with you. That might be part of the deal.
Oh, shit. I don't think so, dude. You're not going to use that against me. Well, here's the point I'm getting at with that is I do love the idea of, you know, thinking outside the box and doing different things to try and gain some sort of attention. I did a full on, I don't know exactly when this particular episode is going to roll out as I'm recording it, but as it sits today, it's April 20th. And I just came off of like an 8.5 week stint of, you know, 24 different destinations. And I think I did something like 16 different keynotes and presentations and 10 podcasts, and I don't even know what else I did, but the main thing I kept talking about quite a bit is just like the power of attention, you know, and getting attention and things like that, because it's incredibly important to the business, but it's around, think outside the box, man. Like, you do heating, air conditioning, or plumbing. It's not sexy, right? It's still not a sexy industry, but you can certainly have fun with it. I mean, and you've been able to make it sexy in the way of it's a growing and a healthy business for you. So it's providing a phenomenal, income for you guys and opportunity for your employees and different career pathing opportunities for them and their families. So you're doing all the things right. And from my your conversations, like, you kind of feel like you're still just getting started. I mean, but you're getting started sitting at, in eight figure, like, you're not, this is fantastic. So I want to talk about some of the things that you've learned. And what I'm really interested in is because you didn't, like, you were a journalism major who then went and worked at Enterprise. So you, and even though your dad was in the industry, like, you still kind of have your own philosophies and your own thought processes and your own things that you have implemented into the business that have been successful. So I want to talk through those things in hopes that we find some little nugget too that maybe you've done that others haven't done. So what in this business, like, and maybe this moment hasn't hit yet, because from what I heard you say, you graduated college in 2005, which means you're probably in your upper 30s. Is that fair?
That is correct. Younger than those 42-year-olds that I speak to.
Shut it down. I'm 42, but I look like I'm 25. Is that, can I pull off 25? 30? Can I pull off 30, guys? 35? God.
35.
Rough crowd. Damn. Okay. It's the crow's feet and the gray hair. I blame it on the heating and air conditioning business, just so you know. But shit, I totally just lost my train of thought. What was I just saying? Damn it.
Done a lot of different things, took a different path.
I got a graduate. Okay. Anyhow. See? Yeah. Shit. See, that's where I'm at right now. I got sidetracked. And we will not edit that out for your pleasure. So, but I want to talk through, like, was there a moment like when something like it clicked, like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, I understand how to scale this thing. Or has that moment happened yet? Or it could also be, have there been multiple moments where you were like, boom, I get it. Has that happened to you yet? And if so, like, what were those? And maybe what did you learn from it?
You know, that's a loaded question, a very good question, but one that, I think we do a lot of that in retrospect, to be able to look back and say, that was the moment that led to XYZ. So I don't know if I have those, especially I don't have that as far as the merger and acquisition. I continue to learn in that realm, but I do have nuggets and takeaways from stories that I made mistakes. That is where the biggest learning moments came from. And I'll share just one as an example, and this is more on the operation side, but I spent my time doing I've done almost every task there is to do in the business. When I started here, I started on July 8th, Virginia Beach, pretty hot and humid. I'm not a manual labor kind of guy. I washed cars and shirt and tie at Enterprise. That's about the extent of it. So I started on July 8th in an attic that's, 150, 160 degrees. And it hats off to our entire industry, our team, our guys and girls that do this, but our industry as a whole. I mean, that is hard shit. It doesn't get the attention. We talk about the roofers and the people on the blacktops. I'm telling you, go in those attics, and hats off to every single one who listens to this, who does it. But it was hard stuff. And I did a little bit of service maintenance. Then I came in and I took phone calls for probably 5 years. I was our main client care representative, taking phone calls, dispatching our technicians. And I grew up, Bobby Knight, for back to our basketball
the
reference,
general.
Bobby Knight, the general. And if you know anything about Bobby Knight, soft would not be the word.
Abrasive.
Yeah.
Angry.
Grab you his happiest day. He grabbed you by your throat, right? Or by your shirt. The worst day by your throat.
Or through a chair.
And Bobby Knight was a hardcore. And that is how I was motivated. And it's so I thought when I started getting into, though I was never really promoted into any specific role, as I would take on a leadership role, I thought I tried to motivate people the way I wanted to be motivated. And that was Bobby Knight. That was, you know, you grab me by my throat and tell me I'm a effing idiot. It's only going to motivate me to prove you wrong and come back and tell you so. So, you know, we have a technician who's still with us today. He's been with us, I think, 17 years now. And one day I'm going to tell the story. He's going to hate it. But this is all Nextel days, right? Everybody can hear everything.
Push to talk.
And yeah, push to talk. He calls in from a home. Parents aren't home. It's only the daughter, teenage daughter. And keep in mind, we're trying to change some culture at the time. You know, our guys try to get out of calls too often, all that stuff we've heard before. So I was like, no, we need to run these calls. Yeah, I'm like, Jay, we got to run this call. He's like, no, she's only 17 or 16. I don't know, whatever it was. And my next response was, beep, beep. What, are you too tempted?
Oh, no, I know where this is going.
Ooh. So in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, you challenged me. I'm going to answer that challenge. I'm going to go do that tune-up. I'll collect revenue and I'm going to come back and throw that ticket right in your face. Well, it wasn't too far actually from our office. About 20 minutes later, I hear his boots come stomping through our office. He goes right into our service manager's office. He will not talk to me like that again. I thought I was motivating. And those are those moments when you start realizing how you motivate others isn't. Yeah, how they want to be motivated. And that is the beginning of that leadership journey that I had to get on. And I went through the classes. Dale Carnegie was life-changing for me. Just a totally different perspective. I still cite Dale Carnegie to this day. And you have to open your mind. I hate the saying, I am who I am. I like who I am, which I do. But for those people who are just stuck in the mud and not willing to change, your business isn't going to change. So I had to open my mind, realize there's different ways to do it. And I'm on that journey now as a leader, trying to get a little more hands-off. who is it? Rob Riggle, I think, in the National Car Rental commercial. I'm not a control freak. I'm a control enthusiast. these are all things that we work through. So I have that moment, the aha, I think I will, but it will be after it happened and come back to it and say, that was the time, that was the beginning of whatever that journey was.
So ironically, my entire leadership team right now is at the Dale Carnegie training this week.
There we go. I did not know that. We didn't set that one up.
We did not. Yeah, and I wanted to go. I did want to go to because I agree with you. You talk about the general, that's probably like the most extreme, like Bobby Knight's probably a super extreme, like, because I'll talk about leading by intimidation or leading by influence. And I'm certainly a leading by influence, like, type of guy. But if you don't know what you don't know, like, you're going to go to whatever you feel like is naturally motivating. Even though now that I've gotten to know you, you're actually not that at all. Like, that's not the guy that I know is, like, you don't strike me as an intimidating, like, you know, hard, brash guy. Like, Bobby Knight threw a chair across the floor. And just so you know, I'm a Purdue guy. So I'm a big Purdue fan. And IU is our arch rival. However, I respect Bobby Knight. That guy's a beast. but I love
a swim coach. I had a swim coach turn swimming into a contact sport. Like, he threw a rubber brick at people. This is when I'm 10, 11, 12. So when you talk about formidable years, it wasn't dodge. You know, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. If you can dodge a rubber brick coming at you, as you swim. Looking back, I might have had some truly alcoholic tendencies in my swim coach, but it was somebody who I respected. And so I watched Bob Knight and I watched, you know, this gentleman be my coach. And it was something that honestly, that's how I was motivated. And I won't pretend that I'm not wired incorrectly at times.
Well, I'll tell you what, first off, great dodgeball reference. Loved it.
Thank you.
I admire that when someone can be self-aware enough to know that you don't have the skill set to manage or lead people and that you needed to go and kind of seek that. And you saw it and you got it through Dale Carnegie. There's lots of different things that you can do too. Like I also sent, we're on stage with Goodrich and he supports this MAP consulting program, which we also sent one of our leadership, one of my leadership guys, the president of the company to, and he loved it. So there's so many different opportunities, but the point is that you recognize that you had a ceiling. In order for you to continue to grow and scale, you got to have good leadership and you yourself need to be a good leader. So you took action and you did something different. You did Dale Carnegie. And now you're referencing it all this time later. So,
and I will also say to the point podcast got us to Ken Goodrich and MAP, which we have been a part of for about 6 to 8 months now because of, again, the ceiling. This isn't a plug for MAP, which, right. I think is a great program, but it was, we were in the market. We saw a ceiling for what we could do with our current leadership team. And we are not satisfied with where we're at. So we did have to seek outside help. No shame in that game. We do it all the time. If you want to improve your golf game, you go to your local golf pro, or you want to lose some weight, you go to a dietitian, personal trainer. So we saw the need to grow our business and we did seek outside help. And, it is a plug. I did hear about it through this podcast.
Perfect.
And some of Ken's postings on his personal Facebook pages and the Facebook groups that he's part of. But you have to grow. If you're not growing in business, you're dying.
That's right. That's right. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Hey, quick question for you. So in your franchise model, do they offer that kind of leadership training? Like, does Authority Brands offer anything like that? Or do you know does any of them offer that type of training? Like, not so much technical, but leadership training.
Yeah. So they offer a great deal of communication training, especially for our field level teammates. Our franchise system is still relatively new in the grand scheme of things. And us at, approximately $20 million, Myrtle Beach, maybe a penny over that. We are the top of that food chain. And we know from our industry that is not the top. So their support level is currently geared a little more towards the lower.
Got it.
Dollar amounts. Yep. But it does mean they have tried some leadership courses and we have attended them. And, with anything, you get out of it what you want. We've taken a nugget from probably almost every training we've ever been to, or at least I have, and I hope our team does. So they have tried it. MAP is an ongoing experience, and it's something that's why we have done it. But the franchise system, it surely tries, and if they don't succeed, they're try again.
Yeah, actually, it makes a lot of sense too. Because if you're the biggest in the room, you got to go find another room. Because what are you going to learn? Like, and not to say that you can't learn something, but like I've heard that said time and time again if you're the smartest guy in the room, you need to find the other room. And I want to be the dumbest guy in the room. And that's what's kind of cool about this particular podcast. And one, thank you for for saying that you heard the MAP thing on here and Ken does talk about it often. But it's one of these things where it's like, I learned so much from this podcast. It's like my ongoing education because there's constantly things that I'm learning from some of the smartest people, like a lot of really thoughtful business owners, but it's not just straight business all the time. Like a lot of times it's just about how to improve myself. And I think that gets glossed over a lot because it sounds like people think it's like cliche or it's kind of cheesy to say, oh, I need to go work on leadership training or work on myself. No, a lot of times the ceiling in the business is you listening. And if you know who you are, you're feeling that right now as I'm saying it. So change it up. Look for some trainings. Like there's a lot of inexpensive options too that you can do. I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, my assumption is that one, you either think I'm entertaining or you think that there's education in this. And so you're taking the time one way or the other to listen to this. Why not take something away from it, and implement it? And if for this particular podcast, you take away that you need to go do some leadership training, it's not cheesy. Some of the best all do it. Like Tiger Woods still has a golf swing coach, So So, well, we talk about kind of some mistakes and the things that we learned from it. And I mean, everybody on here that's listening right now has made mistakes. And if you don't think you have, you're lying to yourself. Everybody makes them. And then it's just that, what do you do with it? Right. And you know, you don't want to make the same mistake over and over again. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, and expecting a different result. Learn from it. Otherwise it's a wasted experience, you know, and probably wasted money, you know? So
yep.
I know you've had some of these and you're, I mean, there's no way you get to the size that you are. And it was a smooth sailing the entire way. So like, what are some of these, you know, I'll take that as one opportunity that you had to learn. So I'm going to ask you about like, what's some mistakes that you have made in business that you guys, had to kind of eat it and then you learned from it and grew from it. Cause that certainly happens. Can you share a couple of those that maybe our listeners have not hit yet and that they can have an idea of maybe what's to come?
I would be surprised, especially on the daily operation, the business operation, if somebody hasn't hit these, right? Because I keep quoting people that I hear at events. Yeah, Eric Knack from Isaacs talks about rob and duplicate. Everybody's in the R&D department.
R&D.
Yes, rob and duplicate. And so you know, our problems are very similar because we try and conduct our business similar to, you know, the way we follow, the way that the people we admire, the businesses we follow. But, you know, our biggest mistake, especially currently, is we're in this position of holding on to our leadership team just a little too long. We are big on relationship, forming relationships with our team. And we struggle to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Boris Jenkins has a book out, you know, Jonathan Bancroft, who is, I believe, the son-in-law of Mr. Jenkins. And they talk about one of the bigger injustices you can do to a teammate is hold him too long. You think you're doing them a favor by keeping them on, seeing if you can develop them. And they say they know they're not going to make it. You know they're not going to make it. You know the end result. You might as well free up their future and let them get where they're going. So that is a mistake. But if we look at like mergers and acquisitions, I've got, you know, I don't think there's enough time in a podcast to go over mistakes we have made, things we have learned along the way. Some are as simple as, you know, we look to put additional capital into a business and we are equity partners who have been very good to us and we have a great relationship, but they offered to put some additional capital in. And I don't know why we never thought for a second that meant they got additional equity out of the deal. And so some of those things are, that's a big money mistake that we learned the absolute hard way.
Ouch.
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 And some are as simple as, you know, we went into our Nashville market with a plan to try and operate it remotely. I have three kids. My oldest is 9. My youngest now is 6. So rewind that 5 years, that puts us at about 5, 2, and 1. Ooh. And I'm trying to travel, out to Nashville every other week and, that was fine by me. I got some good sleep every other week, but my wife was not but so happy to be a single mother of 3 all of a sudden. So, you know, you learn those mistakes. And we didn't try and get a general manager in place. We sent one of our teammates out, one of my best friends who knows our business. He's been here as long as I have. He knows our business inside and out. He was willing to go out to Nashville, which plug for the city. What a great place to have to go spend a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But you wanted to destroy he goes library. Out there to run it. And what we did, we didn't start looking for a general manager until he had everything in a great spot. So we lost a year because then you started to bring one in. So we learned these things as we go each and every time. So now we're in Pittsburgh. We have been there 4 months and I picked up my new general manager from Pittsburgh today at the airport and he will be here for 3 weeks to train. Yeah. You know, so we're constantly learning from all of these mistakes and we will not be selling equity anytime soon.
That's good. That's a shitty lesson to learn, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Damn. Well, you kind of mentioned this, and I know that you are super passionate about what I'm going to ask next, but you kind of talk about how you had to, I mean, your wife ended up kind of being a single mom there taking care of the kids. And while you're out growing the business, this is something that's always interesting to me that I really had to kind of put myself in check. Like I was just saying, I've spent 8.5 weeks on the road, and that's a long stint. So I come home and I'm like, I'm home. I don't want to do anything. Like I'm taking a break as if my wife wasn't doing anything. Like she wasn't busy too. Just because I was traveling doesn't mean like actually it gets more difficult. And she's the COO at Rhino. And so, I mean, her job is already incredibly busy. And a lot of detail goes into it. A lot of, you get it, but there's gotta be a good, work-life balance. And I know you're a big believer on that, but what is your take on work-life balance? To me, it is extremely important. For those who know me well enough to know that I'll take a red eye home to catch a kid's game, to take another flight back out, because they're only young once. Right. But I didn't do that in the beginning. Like, I was just trying to work as hard as I could, but, and I just thought, well, the sacrifices is I have to miss a few things until I realize, like, that is not the human being that I am. That is not what I want to do, is lose these years with these guys. So when it's such a short period of time overall, but I know you're a big believer in this work-life balance. Why don't you share with our listeners what your take is on that?
So I actually think work-life balance is complete and utter bullshit. I think it is a corporate buzzword. And I mean that, and I'm going to explain why. And we've had this discussion before, and I know what you're saying, and we're kind of saying the same thing. We're going to say it a different way.
Right.
But when you ever see work-life balance written out, it is work/life balance.
Not life work.
Work hyphen life, which typically to me indicates you have to choose one or the other. I'm a firm believer, and I swear I need to trademark this, work plus life equals balance. It is my big pet peeve here with our team, that work is part of life. Life is part of work. And what we have to do is find a way to find the balance in there. If you are a mother or father and your family depends on you to support them, work is a very integral part of what your whole family is about. It is okay to live your job and also be the world's best father, mother, aunt, uncle. You can do both of them. And that is what I try and communicate to our leadership team, is it is not a one or the other. If you're a leader on our team, you cannot say you care about your team, and because you're on vacation, turn your phone off. Now, doesn't mean you can't take vacation. We are all about, I am a firm believer that you need to recharge that battery. And what you need to do is ensure that your team knows who to communicate with in that event that you are on the beach, disconnected. You cannot turn your phone off at night. If somebody gets arrested and they call you their manager, what a high compliment you have just received in life. And I don't get how you can say, well, the workday was 9 to 5. And my phone, work-life balance, this is wife time. I'm sorry. Work is part of life. Life is part of work. And what we have to do is strike that balance.
So have somebody called you to bail you out of jail? To bail them out of jail?
Yes. Yes. I have been to Virginia Beach's finest institution one time. I spent the drive home on the phone with his mom. And what a compliment.
His mom?
With his mom talking about what are we going to do here? What does it mean? And what a compliment. He no longer works here. He didn't work here much longer after that. But you think about it.
That's funny.
When you got nobody else to turn to, what does that say about the relationship you formed with your teammate?
No, I understand. I see where you're going from. It is funny. I will share this. I have had a DUI before. I actually got it right out of college, right after I got my criminal justice degree. That was a really very proud moment for my family. Hey, good news is it turned into, it changed the trajectory of my life. I don't know why the hell I just shared that, to be honest with you, but, I get what you're saying though. It does feel good that they came to you because you're the one that they trust. You're the one that was grounded. Like, you're the one they believed in that could help them get out of the situation. And that might not be, I mean, as humiliating it is, probably call your mom. I had to call my mom when I got my DUI.
Yeah.
Oh God, that was embarrassing.
Circle it back to that work-life balance side. Not about who do you call when you get out of jail. It is what does it mean to be part of our team? And our team is a commitment to, our pillars are, our goal is to serve the community, serve each other, and serve the company. And to serve each other, it means you have to come to work, but it also means that you have to have that balance that they know that, if Chris isn't here today, that is the exception, not the rule. And there is a balance point that he is trying to navigate right now. So it is an understanding amongst the team, but you have to use a map term, you have to have strategic alignment.
Yeah.
Everybody has to align with what it means if Chris is out. If Chris is out every single week, there is something off on that. And that is where work-life balance, I think people just hang it up, just like the term customer service. We did it in the name of customer service. I am all for customer service, but not everything falls under that mantle. It's not a get out of jail free card. Yeah. Up in the name of customer service, in the name of work-life balance, they are very specific topics that have become extremely broad, I think.
Interesting. So work plus life equals balance. That's your
work,
trademark.
Work plus life equals balance. Yeah. Roy Williams, back to the Wizard of Ads, says that minus the 0.0001% of the population, everybody else falls in this. You either are going to have an excess of time or money. You typically aren't going to be able to have both.
That's good.
So you give up a little bit of time to get money, meaning, hey, your kids, you might have to rush to the soccer game instead of being home to get them dressed, yep. But you're still going to make it. But dad's going to have the money to send me to that travel soccer camp, yep, that I need to go to. Or you have an excess of time, and that is fine if that's your prerogative. But that typically does come at the expense of some financial, and you might have to tell your kid no once in a while, I can't go to travel soccer because, hey, you know, we just don't have the money right now.
Right. Right. So I love this topic, by the way, of work-life balance, because there's so much that can go into it. But also part of it is one of the most difficult things that the contractors run into too is employee retention, like, and how important of a role that plays in employee retention. You know, from some of our conversations too, you know, I believe in the, most people don't, you know, live to work. They're working to live. And to me, I can't remember who I was just talking about this yesterday or a couple of days ago. And it was that I know what it was. I was actually up in Salt Lake City. I was visiting Wyatt Hepworth, who's been on here before, from Any Hour Group. And they, mm-hmm, had flown my wife and I in to kind of come and check out the operation and a potential partnership and things like that. And I was talking with them about, just work to me is fun. So they made me take this color code test. And I took this color code test, which, by the way, just so you guys know, y'all be taking it for too long. I'm talking to my team. But what it does is kind of says, you know, what some of your core tendencies are when you were even a child that you still have today as an adult. And it allows you to kind of understand how to work with those people, you know, and how they receive what you're telling them and all this kind of stuff like that. And I'm called a yellow purist, which when if you Google it, if you want to find out what that is, but basically everybody who listens to this podcast has an idea of who I am. I'm a very optimistic guy. I set goals and I hit my goals and I have fun along the way and I share things. I'm an empathetic guy. I love giving back. I love doing all these fun things, but I love work. I love it because to me, the building and the giving back and all these things is fun. It's what I enjoy doing. But my wife sits there and says, I love work too. I just don't love it 24 hours a day like Chris does. She has to have that time to shut down and not talk about work. Whereas me, like, I could get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee and say, hey, you know, what about this? Because I'm excited about it. And she's like, nope, don't talk to me for another hour about work. So there does have to be this balance, you know, and to each their own. And for some people that want to come in, you know, from 9 to 5, that's okay. Like that's okay. Come in, do your job and those things. And it is what it is. Like, not everybody is the same, but you got to have that because, you know, the reason that you are working is trying to create some sort of wealth and opportunity for yourself to go and do things fun, build your family, you know, go and buy things, whatever it is. So anyway, like that whole topic is something I've thought about for a long time. And I'm just a big fan of, you say work-life balance, I say life-work balance.
Yeah, and none of these are new concepts, right? But no, you have to know what your teammates' goals are, or what they are chasing after. Because if they are chasing after a financial windfall of some sort, whether it's retirement, whether it's buying a house, taking those trips, you know, it is a different path that you lead down than somebody who wants to essentially find that Zen-like phase. You know, there are people that will say, I want to spend time on my boat. I need to have enough money that I can do that. That's it. So it's knowing your team. And these are not, again, earth shattering brand new nuggets to take away. You just have to figure out that way to know what each teammate, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a company with 3 people or somebody with 200 people, you still have to have somebody within your organization, yeah, that knows what direction your team's trying to go.
Absolutely. I want to do something because I don't know, what are we, about 45 minutes in, 50 minutes, somewhere around there, into the, say about 50 minutes into the podcast. Sorry. It's gone so fast, super fast. But you kind of lit up when you started talking about that. So I could tell it's passionate about you. I mean, and the listeners can't see him unless they're watching the YouTube video portion of it. And they can't see you, but you see like even your body language changed and how you were like talking to me. So I could tell you're super passionate about those things. So whenever you like, let's just think, cause you're, you know, in your upper 30s now, you're going to go back, you're going to give you the younger version of you some good advice, or anyone listening right now who might be not, maybe they're newer in business or even like a few years into the business. What advice would you give to somebody who's kind of just getting started? Like, is there something where you would say, man, I sure wish I'd have done this in the beginning to make it easier, or paid attention to this in the beginning? Like a couple of those nuggets that you can share.
Yeah. Check the ego. Check the ego as early as you possibly can.
Your ego is not your amigo.
Amigo, Joker, yes.
Shout out to Joker.
I've heard that one here once or twice. But I was I had a lot of success at Enterprise. I was lucky enough to be a Division I swimmer, which I guess puts you in a certain level. I was never that good in the Division I side of life, but so I've experienced a nice bit of success. Enterprise, I was, you know, top tier. They had a metrics that they put out each and every month, and I tended to do very well when I started top 1-2 in the area. So I came as a 20, you know, whatever, 5 or so year old to 1 hour to my dad's business, and I thought I knew it all. And I probably didn't check my ego. I couldn't tell you the day, but it was probably a minimum of 5 years. And God only knows how much I missed out on learning or where that curve would be today if I had checked that earlier. And once I was able to do so, it doesn't mean you give up your opinions, give up being part of the decision-making process, but it does allow you to open your ears and eyes, your mind, and listen. The other thing is find a way to get a mentor of some sort, another one. Do it as soon as you can. And that mentor can be somebody that is where you want to be, somebody who's been where it can be all different things in business and life. Learn. Yeah, that's what a mentor is there for. But these events such as, you know, ACA, pick EGIA, anything, next Rhino X. Service Roundtable, no promotion for any one of them. But you go there and you learn from these people. And I remember the very first time I went to an ACA event, I was still new to the industry. And Ray Isaac, I still have a sheet on my desk, a sheet he handed out about a growth chart and how there's plateaus along the way. These are things that my dad might have told me. I'm not listening to that idiot, right? But you hear the exact same words from somebody else and they stick with you. Yeah. So yeah, check the ego and learn, whether it's through a mentor, through organizations, reading. I only read when I fly, and
me too.
Yeah, I should get better at that. I do a lot of podcasts. Yeah. I'm in the morning self-meditations, but I don't open the book and open the mind.
That's good. Yeah. First off, yeah, Ray is like, they're Isaac up in Rochester, right? They're up in upstate New York. Phenomenal company.
Yep, Isaac's.
And so I heard you say a couple things that I kind of want to close out with. You know, I was also a college athlete, and here's what I've looked at. Like, so if I'm even considering bringing somebody in too, because you talked a little bit about we talked a little bit about leadership on this podcast, is in order to be an athlete in college, there's a few things that you've got. And one is you're a competitor, because otherwise, why are you in a sport if you're not trying to win the sport? But you also have discipline, because anytime you get into that level of collegiate sports, your discipline has to be on point to, I mean, really, if you want to have any sort of success, like, you've got to be so hyper-focused. So you have those two things in you already. When you go into college and you're an athlete, you get an ego, because now you're a collegiate bat. Like, you're a bat. I happened to me too. It happened to me too. And I was a little guy. So I was a little guy with a big ego, and I wanted to fight everybody just to show them how badass I was, and that I was wasn't afraid to fight, which is so stupid now I think about it. You know, I mean, but the problem is that I won't do this now because I'm a little bit out of shape. Say 5 years ago, I go play a pickup game of soccer, and my intensity and competitiveness is the exact same, and I will fight you. I will fight you in this game. Okay. Yeah. So I can't play competitive sports like that anywhere because I'm too competitive. I want to win. I'm probably being a little bit extreme, but the point is that, you know, what I loved about that is you recognize that, you know, you got to get rid of the ego. It's okay to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is a strength if it's used in the right way. I'm not saying you got to like talk about all your shortcomings and shit like that. I'm just saying like, it's okay to admit when you don't know something, there's actually a lot of strength in like, even think about this. We talk about Ken Goodrich. He still says he'll go into a room and sit in the front row and take notes. So the way he's constantly learning. Ken Goodrich, $500 million. They just, recapitalized Gettle for, still trying to learn constantly. And Ken for sure has had an ego and still kind of to some point does have an ego, but he's also aware enough to know to like, he doesn't let that disrupt his own personal growth. I think that's a key ingredient. So my biggest takeaway,
if I could have just done it sooner, to the mistakes you made, I spent so long, back to the wanting to fight everyone, right? Maybe not a literal fight in the office setting, but wanting to prove just how smart, how badass I was. Hey, I'm not just the owner's son. Look at what I got. And I spent more time fighting it than learning from it. So just check that ego. And it's hard. You come from that environment where you were, everything is hyper-competitive, and you come in and you're trying to fit in and find your way in the professional world. So just the quicker you can check the ego, the better.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Well, I'll tell you what, like, well, congratulations on the success, man. Like you are in that top tier percentages of what people have not accomplished and won't accomplish. And I think a lot of our listeners, you know, if they are to connect with you, can probably relate more to you than like even the the big guys that come on here. Cause it's so hard to see that far down the road. And at least where you're at, there's probably some benchmarks and some things that are a little bit closer to where they might, you know, they might hit versus, you know, some of the big players. So is there a way that would you be okay if any of our listeners wanted to reach out to you or connect with you on anything, that you would be able to share your contact info, or would you rather them go through us and we connect them for you?
No, I'm more than happy to. I'm dumb millennial though. So I'm a text guy don't call me. We can eventually set up a call, but come on, it's 2022. So yeah, I can give out my info if you want, if that's easiest. Yeah,
totally up to you, man.
A cell phone, area code 757-469-6923 is a text, or we can do some email. My name, all one word, no spaces, no dots, Ryan Kletz, KLETZ, at onehourcomfort.com. All that spelled out, onehour comfort.com. So yeah, you can call. You'll probably leave a voicemail and I'll read it from the transcription and then text you back. But call, text, email, but love to chat. Yeah, because more than likely I'm going to take as much from talking to somebody else as they're going to get from me. I constantly learning. Though hopefully we can share a nugget. I'm hoping to take some nuggets too. It ain't free. I'm trying to take some stuff from you too.
Yeah, no, that's good. I appreciate you offering that up to your cell phone. I mean, I get it. Listen, man, I have lots of conversations through text. You and I usually talk through text until like we hop on. Yep. I'm good with that. Totally okay.
Yep.
Well, listen, congratulations to you. And if we did get your dad to listen to Todd and for what you guys have built and where it's going to go, I'm excited for all of it for you guys and to potentially be a little part of the ride, you know? So I'm excited for your growth plan. But thanks, man. And I always love when I can bring somebody on too, that, you know, that has started to get a little bit of success and can start to see like the light at the end of the tunnel. And I don't necessarily know what the light at the end of the tunnel is for you, if it's like you're trying to get this thing to 100 million or whatever it is. But I think that, where you've gotten into a sweet spot is that you can be vulnerable enough to learn from other people. Like the fact that you're saying, hey, call me so you can learn from me and I can learn from you, kind of says a lot about who you are as a human being. So, I appreciate that about you. I mean, listen, my God, you had Jim Abrams and Terry, you know, and Darren, like some of these guys in your, like in the past have been a part of like these things that your dad, like in the Blue Dot days, like that is deep in the HV in the home services history game, man. Like, so congratulations to you. And thanks for giving me the time to coming on here, man. I'm grateful. And I'm thankful that we got to meet at ACCA. Like those are, you know, as exhausting as it is to travel that much, you know, when I'm in it and I'm actually in like, I'm getting to speak and all that stuff, I pour everything I have into it. I'm able to connect with everybody and you and I are able to make a connection. So I'm grateful for that, man.
Exactly. Always nuggets, always connections to be made. never go there to be sold or sell somebody. But again, we come out with just a ton of info. So whether it's ACCA or any other event, go out there, put yourself out there, learn from other people.
Yeah, I mean,
and I appreciate you having me. I've listened to this. I never honestly thought, considered myself coming on it, but I've listened to these things for years at this point.
Well, you know, well, thank you. When I first thought about it was when we were I'm literally sitting on the stage listening to you respond to some of the M&A questions on that panel in front of however many, you know, hundreds of people that were sitting in that room at ACCA. And I was like, damn, this guy's pretty smart. He has been saying some pretty smart things. And it was this franchisee model that I know we have other franchisees that are listening to this too. And so maybe this has opened up your eyes like, oh God, maybe I didn't even consider going down this path or whatever. Well, now you have a great, you know, source here that you can reach out to and ask, cause I bet you he's thought about the same thing and been through the same thing. So utilize it.
Happy to share, especially on the franchisee side. You know, we talked a little bit about it. It is a different model. So if you do have questions about it, again, it's different. It's not right for everybody, just like nothing is, right? And no one size fits all. So yeah, any questions about anything, give me a shout, text, email, love chatting. Again, I appreciate being on as a guest. I'm not going to say it was bucket list, but it is some shit that
A bucket list. Take that back.
Yes. Yes. Most definitely bucket
Thank
list.
Thank you. Thank you. Bucket list.
There we go.
You want to know what you, I don't think I ever even said Ryan's last name. When I introduced him, I think I just said Ryan. So I apologize, man.
And no worries. There's not many klutzes out there. You're fine.
Such a klutz. All right. Listen, yeah. That was a really terrible dad joke and I apologize. All right. So, hey, again, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to go ahead and finish this thing off with the review like I always do, listeners. And this one is from Jose Mina TX, assuming that means Texas. Is that fair? Okay. Thanks, Ryan. Priceless education with a rhino emoji. A rocket emoji and a fire emoji. Ooh, that means it's a rhino on a rocket and there's a lot of fire in this one. Priceless education, 5 stars. This guy's, hold on a second. Somebody's going to have to go through a grammar lesson. This guys are always putting content out and delivering every week. Not only do I always get nuggets, but you guys make my drive time easy and entertaining. Thank you so much, Jose. I mean, yeah, I appreciate that very much. I think you meant these guys, but you know what? Listen, I do the same thing. I've text message and I'll voice text and it is what it is. I just let it ride. Sometimes it doesn't look good. But anyway, I'm grateful that you took the time to leave a review and that you're listening to the podcast. So all jokes aside, thank you for doing that. And of course, see if you guys want to leave us a review. We certainly love that. And if, if it's something that where Ryan said something that you want to leave a review for him, I love to share those things too. So if you leave a review and you mention Ryan, we'll make sure we get it over to him too. So that way he can feel the love as well. But listen, I appreciate all you listening. Hopefully you got some nuggets you could take away from this. And I encourage you, reach out to Ryan. You don't got to do everything he says, but you got to do something. No, 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review, and be honest, and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.